about you, but I enjoyed that immensely. Enjoy our singing. We are so blessed. We have such a talented group of singers and folks that minister to us in the music field. If you have your Bible this morning, turn with me to Acts chapter 1, verse 11. Acts chapter 1, verse 11. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Jesus is ascending back to the Father. And he said, "You men of Galilee," the angel said, "why stand you here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go." This blessed hope lies at the very heart of our Christian faith this morning, the fact that Jesus Christ is coming again the second time. This is not a truth or belief that is the prerogative of some religious cranks. It is something that is a part of our universal faith. There is not a creed of the church where this hope is not expressed. There is not a hymn book where it is not sung. And as we gather round the table for the Lord's Supper, we're reminded of his coming. But I want to turn your thoughts this morning to some words of Christ concerning the second advent, and I want to speak in that direction this morning. Jesus said, "As it was in the days of Noah, and as it was in the days of Lot, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." Now, I want us to look at these two events, and I think it's very significant this morning that our Lord has linked the truth of his second coming to the fact of these two Old Testament judgments. Number one, God's judgment is determined. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 through 7, we see that man's disobedience is that which brought the judgment of God upon men. It says, "God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart, only evil continuously. And it grieved God, it repented God that he made man. And God said, I will destroy him whom I have created from the face of the earth." And I think to myself, how terrible the corruption must have been for such a tremendous action like this. How awful it must have been for such drastic action. The only way to save the human race was to destroy the evil. And the hour of judgment was determined. You see, sin is like a cancer. It has to be removed. And God said, "I'm going to remove this sin, this cancer of sin from the world." And he did it with a flood. And then it goes on in Genesis chapter 18. It says, "As it was in the days of Lot," the sin was very grievous. Very grievous. Now, I want to remind you this morning that the reason why the flood came upon the earth was because of sin. And the reason why Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, it was because of sin, perversion, homosexuality. God destroyed that city with fire and brimstone. We see God moving into action against sin, because God hates sin. It is a stench to the nostrils of Almighty God. But then what of the day of Christ's return? "As it was, so shall it be." Of the sin and unbelief in the world today, there can be no doubt. In fact, if God doesn't act soon, if God doesn't move in judgment against America and the world soon, then he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah and the old world. We're living in a day when sin is running rampant. leadership in high places are trying to destroy the faith. We live in a time when it seems like the devil is in control, but I know better than that. I know this morning that God is in control and everything is on schedule, even though sometimes it makes you wonder what we're coming to. Well, but God spoke, and he speaks of a time when he will act. It says, the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. I'm here to remind you this morning that God is on the throne. He has set a time, and everything is moving headlong towards that great climactic event of the end of time and Christ coming again. I know that when it took 120 years and 7 days before God sent the flood, I know that people had to think, well, it's not going to happen. All of this time is past. And they thought Noah was just a foolish man that had been out in the sun too long. But everything is moving towards that great climactic event. Well, judgment is determined, but God's mercy is declared. Nowhere in the Bible do you ever find judgment without mercy. Mercy was declared in the days of Noah and Lot. Noah, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, 5, and 6, and I want to read those verses for you this morning. It said, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Now these were the angels of God. One third of the angels of heaven was cast out because they rebelled against God because of sin. Then he goes on to say in verse 5, and God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. And then 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. Now Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He declared God's mercy. And I can imagine as he started out preaching when God told him, said, Noah, I want you to build that ark for the saving of your family. Now he believed God, even though he had protractors out there that thought he was a fool. But he believed God. And God may not have spoke to him one more time during that 120 years, but he believed God and he set out to do exactly what God told him to do. He built that ark and he was a preacher of righteousness that went to village and he told people about Jesus Christ. You see, he did his best in order to warn them that judgment was coming. You know, if you saw your neighbor's house on fire and you ran over there and you knocked on that door and said, get out of there. Your house is on fire. What would you think if they said, well, I'm watching television. It's the most important part coming up. Folks don't do that. Then get out of that house. But that's really what the world is doing. I'm telling you, the gospel message is being preached, and this is God's plan, whether folks like it or not. This is God's plan that the gospel is being preached as a warning and a testimony that judgment is coming, that if you're going to get right, you need to get right, because when that day comes, it will be too late. In the days of Lot, it said, then came the angels to bring them out of that place. Now, you know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know that their evil came up. It was a stench to the nostrils of God. And yet God was willing to show mercy. When Abraham interceded and said, Lord, if there's 50 righteous in the city, will you destroy it? He said, no, I won't do it. He said, if there's 20, there's 10. He couldn't even find 10 righteous in the city. Save Lot and his family. But God was merciful. Just like he was to Nineveh, that wicked city, that yet in 40 days I'm going to destroy this city, send judgment, and yet they repented and God forgave them. That's the kind of God we serve. He's a merciful God. He's a loving God. He wants everybody to be saved. He wants everybody to know him in the free pardon of sin, to have the abundant life here, and most of all, shun hell and have the abundant life in heaven that he's provided for those that love him. Well, when the Lord returns, mercy will be there. You see, the gospel will be preached in all the world as a witness, and then shall the end come. Now again, the preaching of the gospel. Billy Graham said a number of years ago in the Los Angeles Crusades that this particular prophecy had been fulfilled, that the gospel has gone out to all nations under the sun. Then shall the end come. Now I'm here to remind you this morning that God is sending preachers out, and we've got churches on almost every other corner in the Bible Belt USA. And yet the vast majority of folks are at home this morning without any concern about spiritual matters. You see, the vast majority of folks give little thought to the fact that Jesus might come today. You know, we have so much time and attention that we pay on trying to help our kids to be proficient in this and proficient in that, and yet the most important thing is to help them to know the Lord Jesus Christ and make heaven their home. And sometimes, parents, we get things all out of prior perspective. The most important thing is that your children make heaven their home. And it's your responsibility, it's my responsibility to tell them, to warn them, to some way help them to see that this is what the need of their life really is, that we become Christians, we live for the Lord, and when this life is over, we go to heaven. Now, is that not really what it's all about? That's what we're here for. And that's what the ladies sung about this morning. Well, God's message was despised. In the days of the flood, only 8 people responded. Now notice, out of all the thousands of folks, only 8 people responded. Imagine the scorn, the ridicule that this preacher had to endure as he went here and there preaching impending judgment. Now I know we come to church and we're the group that, you know, we come on Sunday after Sunday after Sunday because we love the Lord and we believe what I'm sharing with you this morning. But I wonder sometimes if we really believed it, would we not do more than what we're doing? Would we not be a better witness? Would we not have some passion in our soul that weeps and cries out for the lost souls of men that are on their road to a devil's hell? If somebody doesn't love them enough, somebody doesn't care enough to invite them, to talk to them about the Lord, and try to help them to know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. If we don't do that, then it'll be just like in Noah's day. And we complain sometimes about the fact that folks don't come to the altar like they used to. Can you imagine him preaching 120 years and having no one? Having no one? I mean, just preach your heart out. And nobody seemed moved. Nobody seemed disturbed by their sin. And consequently, they just continued on in their waywardness. And they turned away further from God, and they discredited the man of God. And that's really what's happening in the world today. The church is being discredited. Christ is being discredited. But he's still Christ. He's still on the throne. And he has all power. He is omnipotent. Then in Lot's day, when the message was proclaimed, did they receive it with gladness? Well, listen to what the scripture says. Lot went out and spake to his son-in-laws and said, get you out of this place. But he seemed to them as one that mocked. Isn't that terrible? And so they didn't get out. Scoffers in the last days will ask, where is the promise of his coming? They're asking that today. Hey, it's been 2,000 years since Christ was upon the face of the earth. 2,000 years since they crucified him on the cross. And he ascended back to the Father, and the angel said, this same Jesus that you see ascending, he's going to come again one day in like manners you've seen him go. Do you believe that this morning? I mean, do you believe that this morning? This same Jesus, he's coming. And I don't know just when it's going to be, but I'm telling you, it's not long. I'm convinced of that. It's not long. I've been serving the Lord since I was 14, been preaching since I was 14 and a half. I'm convinced today as I study the scripture and I see the signs of the time, and as I look at all that the Bible has to say about the second coming, brethren, it's not going to be long before Jesus comes. I want to meet him without the blood of those that he's placed in my care and responsibility on my hands. I want to discharge my responsibility to tell you that Jesus loves you, that he's a risen Lord, but he's a coming Lord. And I want you to be ready to meet him when that time comes. Well, God's people were delivered. The Bible said Noah went in and his sons and his sons' wives with him in the ark. And then in the days of Lot, we see a small band hurrying out of the city. What God had promised, he delivered. I'm convinced that he's made provision for us. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I believe he's got a place prepared for those that love him. Not just in this church, but any church where the gospel is preached and folks are saved. You see, he's got a place provided for all of those. It's not a shack in the corner of glory land, but it's a mansion that God has provided for those that love him. Well, the Bible said, then two shall be in the fields. The one shall be taken and the other left. You know what the Bible's saying is there'll be a division. There'll be a separation. It'll be a sad thing when families are split up. It'll be a sad thing when folks that proclaim Christ, but when the time came, it was not real. And there'll be a separation. I'm here to tell you that there will come a day when Christ is going to come and say, it's enough. And the saints of God will be taken out. What a separation. But God has told us this for years. We know it. And yet we don't always pay heed. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. God's people were delivered in Noah's day. They were delivered in Lot's day. God's people will be delivered when he comes back the second time. But God's enemies were doomed. In Genesis 7:23, it said every living thing was destroyed. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Water gushed from every crack and crevice in the earth until the earth was inundated with water. And finally, there came the time that everybody was gone. Everybody was dead. The only ones that were alive were those in the ark, the animals, and Noah and his family. And then it says in Genesis 19:24, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire, and the smoke went up as a smoke of a furnace. As it was, so shall it be. You know, the one thing that I enjoy seeing after it's rained hard, and you know, you'd like to get outside and do something, and you see that rainbow. You know what that is? That's God saying, I'll never destroy the world by water again. But it also reminds us that in the second coming, that this old world is going to melt with the fervent heat, that it'll be destroyed by fire. I don't know about you, but I want to do everything I can to not only be ready myself and for my family, but I want everybody to make heaven their home. Kind of reminded of the story of the little girl that was dying of leukemia. Her mother leaned over her bed and she was crying, and the girl noticed and said, Mama, don't cry. The mother said, Honey, I just have to cry some. That frail, pale girl tried to comfort her weeping mother, said, Mother, don't you remember the picnic? Oh, honey, we don't need to talk about things like that at this time, but what do you mean about the picnic? Mother, don't you remember the picnic as we were out that day? A bee came along and stung you on the arm, and you cried out because it hurt. And then it flew around a little bit more and came and lit on me, and when I jumped, you said, don't worry about that bee, because a bee can only sting one person, and it left its stinger in me. Mother, don't you know that one time death was flying around, it stung Jesus and it left its stinger in him? Mama, don't you cry. Because death can't sting me today. 1 Corinthians 15:56-57. It says the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We have the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. And I'm telling you this morning that he has all power. And not even hell or sin or death can steal it from him. And that risen, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God says, I'm coming back for you. I believe that, don't you? Want to be ready, don't we? Don't want to miss the boat. Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your sweet presence that we felt in the service this morning. Thank you for the messages of song. Lord, how they blessed our heart and how they prepared us for your word. I pray, God, that you would bless the word this morning, that as it goes out, it will not return unto you void, but it will bring forth the fruit that you intend I pray, God, that you would help us to have broken hearts because of our sin, broken hearts because of our lethargy and unconcern about spiritual matters. Oh, Lord, that you'd help us this morning, that we'd bow before you on bended knees and say, Lord, may your will be uppermost. May it be first in my life, and I submit to it. Father, I pray that you would help those that need to come this morning, that they'll realize this is the most important decision that they'll ever face. And I pray, God, you'll give them the strength to step out and come, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.